Greetings and welcome. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." That's from Psalm 122, and that's where we'd like to be looking at this morning. If you care to turn in your Bibles to that song. Again, welcome to each of you. It's a pleasure to have those of you back who have been gone and others of you visiting. We're glad you're here. This is the Song of Ascents, and reading in ESV, David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of Israel, of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Well, it is great to be back from having spent 2 weeks in Israel and to be gathered here for worship. More than half of our time was spent in Jerusalem. It is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world, with just literally thousands of years of history, both biblical and secular history. Jerusalem is referred to or mentioned more than 800 times in the Bible, and so I won't cover all those this morning. It's referred to early in the book of Joshua as one of the cities that children of Israel couldn't conquer. Actually, I guess I could say that I've entitled this short time, "Jerusalem, Old and New." King David conquered the city from the Jebusites and established it as the kingdom of the capital of the United Kingdom of Israel. And then Solomon, as you know, built the first temple, which came to be the place where God was to be worshipped. Now, the city of Jerusalem is located on a plateau in the Judean Mountains between the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. And as you read, you notice there are many scriptures that refer about going up to Jerusalem or going up to the temple. Well, the elevation of Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, which compares to Jericho at 846 feet below sea level. And it's only about 15 miles away as the crow flies. Well, scripture is rich with the connections involving Jerusalem as the center of worship in the Old Testament. And Jerusalem is central in the unfolding of the gospel story in the New Testament. And of course, that's where our Sunday school lesson takes place today. And then, of course, in Revelation, it talks about the New Jerusalem. So Psalm 122 is one of the songs of ascent. The Psalms 120 to 134 were songs of what we call songs of ascent that may have been sung. And there may be a variety of interpretations on this. It may have been sung as the ark moved up to Mount Zion. It may have been songs that were sung by the children of Israel when they returned from Babylon. These are psalms that have been sung by worshipers who go to the three pilgrim festivals that are held in Jerusalem every year, perhaps past or present. Now, the first psalm, Psalm 120, is sung with a very heavy heart. And perhaps we'll talk more about that heaviness and distress a little bit later. But for now, we'll start by looking in Psalm 122. was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. You know, let us not underestimate the privilege that it is to gather for worship, the opportunity to be encouraged and blessed and strengthened as we apply ourselves to Scripture, as we apply ourselves to the living Word, where there is life and there is hope and there is meaning. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. David rejoiced in a city that was solidly built. It wasn't just a collection of scattered tents, but rock walls locked together tight and solid. And so it is with the church. When we are unified, where we are one in vision and purpose, united to serve the Lord and one another, it is a blessing to worship together. And so David gives thanks to the Lord. And we do very well to follow his example. And this morning, I'm just so grateful, we are so grateful for your prayers that enabled us to enjoy wonderful blessings in the several weeks that we were in Israel. We had safety in travel. We had absolutely gorgeous weather. If between 60 and 80 fits that category. We had good health, and we had the opportunity to be immersed in the rich geography, the history, and the culture of the Bible. And for that, we are just so grateful. We were just impressed and awed at the ways in which archaeological evidence has been preserved to strengthen our faith, to give evidence and witness to what is in the written word. And there's a variety of ways in which that happened. It may have happened through earthquakes. In one case, it's the earthquake that created a mudslide that has been more recently excavated. There's the Dead Sea Scrolls. There are just many ways that we saw God's hand in history there. And we're blessed for the opportunity to have spent time with family and to see God's hand in missions as well. Verses 5 and 6, David says, Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. But he also acknowledges the problem. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. You see, during Jerusalem's long history, according to Wikipedia, it's been destroyed at least twice. It's been besieged 23 times. It's been captured and recaptured 44 times and attacked 52 times. It's considered a holy place for three major Abrahamic religions, for Judaism, for Christianity, and Islam. But, of course, the problem comes as both Israel and the Palestinian Authority claim Jerusalem as their capital, and the status of Jerusalem remains one of the core issues. Who owns Jerusalem and what parts of it are one of the core issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? And these issues are just both very old and extremely complex. We do well to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But as we look for practical implications this morning of the scripture, I'm aware that we can come to worship without peace in our hearts. Thank you for those selections, Shane. They fit just exactly with what we have yet to say here. As we talk about Jerusalem, Shalom, the city of peace, you know, we may come to worship with distress in our hearts, as David expressed in Psalm 120. We may come with sadness. As we look at the calendar, we are slightly past the middle of November, and as a congregation, we have suffered a lot of losses this year. I don't have to remind you that there have been 7 deaths in the past 7 months. And these have been close to us, deaths involving a spouse, a parent or grandparent, aunt or great aunt, or a son, a close friend. These have touched us. And facing the holidays is not easy. Sometimes we wish we could just fast forward. We could somehow just jump from the middle of November deep into January and be able to miss the holidays, particularly when they remind us of what we have lost. And so remembering that and knowing that we are affected with these losses, it is good to us for us to think about reaching out to each other in the coming weeks. As in the last verse of 122, David said, "For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you." So how do we reach out? And I don't have time to go into a lot of this. I will say that for those who've experienced the death of a family member, the holiday season tends to just simply intensify the feelings of sadness and pain. And perhaps we remember past holidays that were so happy, and that contrasts with the current kinds of things. But there are ways to work through this. There are ways in which we don't expect to get through without pain, and perhaps not even lessen the pain, but sometimes just understanding the pain helps us to know what we are experiencing, and we can move forward. We have Rebecca and I prepared a few copies of some useful tips for coping with grief through the holidays that we've placed on the back table. There's some ideas there, such as recognizing that the anticipation of the holidays is often as difficult or more difficult than the holiday itself, how we shouldn't get caught with unreasonable expectations, take time beforehand to plan out activities. There's quite a few things, but we're running out of time for some of that. However, let me come to what does what additionally gives hope and gives courage, and that is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem isn't like Mount Sinai of old, where it says in Hebrews 12, "Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than that of Abel." And then in Revelation 3:12, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." And then, of course, chapter 21 is very familiar. "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And we know that in the New Jerusalem, there will be no pain, there will be no tears, no mourning, nor crying. The former things have passed away. We can rejoice in that hope. But we are caught now in between these two points in time. And as we are here, let us be grateful. Let us take courage. Let us look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we can learn from old Jerusalem. We can experience the current fellowship in the gathered body of the church. And we can look forward with anticipation to the New Jerusalem. Would you bow for prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for suffering for us. Thank you that you died outside the city of Jerusalem. And you died there so that we might find hope and reason for living. But not only that, you rose again with resurrection power that gives us meaning and hope and courage. Thank you that you give hope in the midst of sorrow, that joy and sorrow can coexist, and that as we draw near to you, you will meet us in the darkest hours of night. And so we ask that you would help us to discover that place before you, and that you would help us then minister to each other in the coming weeks. Lord Jesus, we need you, we love you, we want to serve you, and we want to do our best for your kingdom's sake. Just ask that your blessing would go with us in each part of the service further, in the Sunday school hour, in the worship time, in the message. We want you to be honored. We love you through Jesus. Amen.